Scripture reading this morning is Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. To the angels of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. You know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecutions for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt by all but the second death.
ヨハネの黙示録2章8節から11節。またスミルナにある教会の御使いに書き送れ、始めであり終わりである方、死んでまた生きた方が言われる。私はあなたの苦しみと貧しさとを知っている。しかしあなたは実際は富んでいる。またユダヤ人だと自称しているが、実はそうではなく、かえってサタンの改宗である人たちから罵られていることも知っている。あなたが受けようとしている苦しみも恐れてはいけない。見よ、悪魔はあなた方を試すためにあなた方のうちにある人たちを牢に投げ入れようとしている。あなた方は10日の間苦しみを受ける。死に至るまで忠実でありなさい。そうすれば私はあなたに命の冠を与えよう。耳のある者は御霊が諸教会に言われることを聞きなさい。勝利を得る者は決して第二の死によって損なわれることはない。
Good morning. How are you doing? So, give you an update on my dad. For those of you who do not know, he went for a triple bypass about 3 weeks ago. He is now home. And he's doing good.
Amen.
And I heard from him two days ago, and he was telling me that the same surgeon that operated on the Emperor of Japan, I don't know if, yeah, Hiro something. Sorry, I'm Japanese, but I don't know who the Emperor of Japan is. Do you guys know?
You mean the Showa Emperor?
Hirohito, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Phil. So, apparently the same surgeon that operated on Emperor Hirohito operated on my dad. And I said, wow, how did that happen? He's like, well, he just lives near the hospital I went to, and they called him. And so he thanked me for my prayers, and he said, God answered my prayers, even though he's not Christian. And so praise God. And thank you all for your prayers as well. God is faithful, amen. Today, I want to continue to talk about the churches in Revelation. And I believe as we look at these different churches, now there are 7 churches in Revelation, the book of Revelation. As we look at these churches, I want us to see where we are as a church in comparison to these churches, as well as where we are individually. Because I believe there are insights for us today that Jesus gave to the church of yesterday. Amen? We could continue to fall in the same sin, and we could continue to fall in the same victory as well. And so I want to continue to talk about these churches, and today I want to talk about walking in victory, and especially about persevering. Let me pray before I continue. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for today. And we ask, Lord, that you would open up, Lord, you would open up our eyes and ears to hear your word and to see what you are doing. Give us ears to hear and a heart that understands, Lord, what the Spirit is saying today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We invite you to fill this place with your presence, and we ask, Lord, for just a greater awareness of you, Lord, walking amongst us, being with us today. We pray for all those who cannot be with us, and we ask, Lord, wherever they are, you would touch their heart, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're talking about the church in Smyrna. I don't know too much about the city or the place of Smyrna, except it was, I believe, a coastal city, pretty affluent. But this church did not seem to be doing well. But before we talk about the church, if you notice, every church Jesus talks to, the seven churches, he does one thing for every church. He gives a revelation of himself. And that, I believe, is one of the greatest responsibility of the church today, is to continue to have a revelation of Jesus Christ and to present that to the world. Because once the world realizes the greatness of Jesus, they cannot help themselves but worship. And to the church in Smyrna, Jesus reveals himself this way. He says this: "These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again." Amen. The first and the last who died and came to life again. Couple of things. Jesus exists outside of time and sees the beginning from the end, the end from the beginning. It's all the same to him. Amazing, isn't it? Just standing outside of time, and he could see everything all at once. Now, if I was standing outside of time and I could see everything all at once, I would change some choices I made in life. Amen? I've said this hundreds of times. I would invest in Yahoo before it became very, very successful. Then I would have changed my investment from Yahoo to Google. But being outside of time and being able to see from the beginning to end, Jesus has a full perspective and revelation of everything. He sees perfectly. He sees perfectly. Not only does he see perfectly from beginning to end, but he says this: he is also the one who died and came to life again. Jesus defeated death and holds the key to death. Amen. So for those of you who are in fear of dying, let me tell you this. If you trust in Jesus, you do not have to fear death, because he holds the keys to death. And I don't know what happens at the point of death, but if you trust in Jesus, it'll be a smooth transition. You do not have to fear that transition. In fact, you would probably welcome that transition. Now, I don't know if you have the assurance of that today. If you don't, I want to encourage you that you could trust in Jesus. If you put your trust in Jesus, you can have the assurance of a smooth transition from this life to the next. You know, I've often wondered how I would answer if I was ever interviewed by a non-Christian. Who is that guy that does these interviews? He interviewed Billy Graham. He interviewed Purpose to Bring Life guy. Somebody help me.
Rick Warren.
He interviewed Joel Osteen, and you know, this guy always asked, "So, are you saying if I die, I'll go to hell?" And some of these guys have answered pretty poorly, and have been criticized. Now, I'm not here to criticize anyone, but I've often wondered how would I answer that. You know, because it's a fine line of speaking the truth in love and being sensitive to the audience. Yeah, there's a fine line. And I don't know how I answer it, but if I was asked today, I would say, you know, I can't judge who goes to heaven or hell, but I know personally I need help to go to heaven. And the person that could help me go to heaven is Jesus. And let me tell you, unless you're perfect, you're going to need some help. Amen? Because if you think you're going to go to heaven on your own merit, heaven may not be as good of a place as you think it is. We all need some help. We all need a Savior. And my Savior is Jesus. And Jesus says of Himself, I died and came to life again. And in Revelation 1:18, He says, He defeated death and He holds the key to death. Amen. And I believe this revelation here about Jesus that He's giving was especially relevant for this church in Smyrna. Now let me read what this church is like in Smyrna. These are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty. Let's just stop there. I know your afflictions and your poverty. What's interesting about Smyrna is this is one of the two churches that Jesus does not correct. He corrects the church in Ephesus. He corrects the church in Pergamum. He corrects the church in Thyatira. He corrects the church in Sardis. He corrects the church in Laodicea. Philadelphia and Smyrna, there were two churches that Jesus doesn't actually correct. And Smyrna is actually one of the churches that doesn't have anything outwardly going for them. Ephesus, they did a great job of figuring out who's false teacher, who's not. The church in Thyatira, they were doing a lot of good deeds. They were growing in love and faith. These other churches outwardly looked very healthy. Smyrna outwardly did not have anything going for them. They were poor. They were afflicted. They were probably pretty small. They were weak. They were persecuted, thrown into prison. Some actually died. And you would think this church is probably a cursed church out of all the churches, if you were to judge from a worldly point of view, or if you were to judge from a Japanese world point of view. Right? Because let me tell you, growing up as Japanese, if something wrong happened to you, what was the reason? Bachi, right? Bachi. For those of you who don't know what bachi is, it means sort of like karma in English. It means something wrong or bad happened to you because you deserved it, because you probably did something wrong. Growing up with that kind of worldview, you look at Smyrna and you probably are thinking, wow, that church must have did something wrong. They're not healthy. They're not wealthy. They're not prospering. They're pretty small. They're being thrown into prison. They're being persecuted. It says slander. So people were saying bad things about this church. Imagine that. Imagine that. Now imagine if that's how your life was going. If you're constantly sick, constantly in financial trouble, constantly having people say bad things about you, constantly getting thrown into prison or getting, I don't know, traffic tickets. I get traffic tickets a lot for some reason. Things happening to you, guess what people around you will start thinking? Oh, this guy must not have God's favor on his life. Right? Is that not true? Am I? Okay. I'm going to preach this way. Because this wall has more encouragement than preaching over here. I'm doing my best. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Now, Jesus is saying this, and Jesus simply says, I know about it. He knows about it. He knows you're going through a lot of things. He knows you're struggling. What Jesus doesn't say, though, is he doesn't say, get your act together. Right? Right? I think as a pastor, or maybe as people who are believers, sometimes we might have that kind of attitude, right? If we see somebody struggling, we might be saying like, hey, get your act together. You're doing something wrong. You know, say if you're struggling financially, or your health is struggling, or your family's struggling, or, you know, fill in the blank, you're not praying enough. You're not going to enough Bible study. You're not going to church enough. You're not doing so-and-so enough. Jesus doesn't say, you're not doing enough. In fact, Jesus is saying, I know about it, and you are rich. Amen. Yeah. Jesus knows how to encourage. Sometimes we all need some encouragement, and I believe this church in Smyrna needed encouragement, and Jesus gave them exactly what they needed. In fact, the Old Testament, a lot of times the New Testament writer calls the law that brings death, really had this mentality that unless you're doing good, God's not for you. And if you're not doing good, God is against you. And there's truth to that. I mean, it's not completely false. There's truth to that. But let me tell you, there was a man in the Bible that did everything perfect. Absolutely everything perfect. His best friend gets thrown into prison, probably at that time his only friend, gets killed. All of his friends desert him. One of his closest friends denies him, another one betrays him. He is thrown into prison, he is rejected by the very people he comes to help and has helped. And everyone must have thought, this person must be cursed, if anyone. That person was Jesus. Lived an absolute perfect life. And outwardly, I bet in the end people were like, this man was a cursed man. Now, he did bear our curse on the cross, but prior to the cross, he was not a cursed man. But his life was filled with persecution, was filled with slander, was filled with a lot of just bad things in life. And it happens sometimes. And if you ever find yourself in that position, it really might not be that God has cursed you. It might not be that God has left you. It's just, in this life, we will go through struggles. We will. Some of us are going through it right now. But let me tell you this. He says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. If you get anything from this message, in Christ, you are rich. Amen. Amen. In Christ, you are rich. Now, I don't think Jesus was just trying to, you know, I think he was really serious when he says you are rich to this church. Although their bank account may not have grown from zero to 100,000 million in one day, I believe Jesus was talking about the bigger picture, the one who sees from the beginning to the end, that they are absolutely, abundantly rich because they are in Christ. And Jesus himself talks about treasures in heaven. You guys know about that, right? Please shake your head. Amen. That there are treasures and rewards in heaven. Now, how you get those treasures and rewards in heaven, I think we need to maybe talk about a little bit. But there are treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Meaning that everything you've done, and Wayne read a passage that alluded to that, is everything you do in this life will be rewarded. If not here, then in the second life. The life after. And Jesus talks about, store for yourself treasures in heaven where moth do not eat, where rust do not destroy, where thieves do not come and steal. Amen. Now, how do you store up treasures in heaven? There are a couple things. I was going to say the greatest way, but if you want to know more about that, read Matthew chapter 6. From 5 to 6, he talks about storing up treasures in heaven in those couple of chapters. Acts of righteousness. Giving to the poor. Even a cup of cold water to a child, you'll store up treasures in heaven. When you love those that are unlovable, when you are persecuted for righteousness, you'll store for yourself treasures in heaven. When you do good here and you are not rewarded and nobody notices, you'll store for yourself treasures in heaven. And let me tell you, do not lose your treasures in heaven. You know, a lot of us, we're very diligent in not losing our earthly treasures. Amen? We have a lot of insurance, alarms, dogs, cats, I don't know what you use to protect your treasures on earth. But let me tell you, Satan will want to touch... Okay, Wayne has his right fist, or his left fist, to help him save his treasures here on earth. But let me tell you, Satan wants to touch your treasures, not just here on earth, but in heaven. Especially in heaven. If he could steal anything from your life, he will steal your treasures from heaven. Don't let that happen. Now, how do you not let that happen? Perseverance. The only way that you will lose is if you give up. But let me just continue. It says in Revelation, I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. I think one of the main weapons Satan uses against God's people is slander. Slander from other people. Just be careful that you aren't used by Satan to slander others as well. But slander is one of the biggest weapons Satan uses. It's the flaming darts, the flaming arrows that Satan uses to try to discourage other believers and to try to just overwhelm them with a lot of slander. And this church was being overwhelmed by slander by what they were called a synagogue of Satan. Scripturally, it looks like they were a Jewish community, but they were being used by Satan. Now, not all Jews are being used by Satan. Okay? Just like not all Christians are being used by God. Hey, sorry, I had to say that. Yeah, sometimes Satan can use Christians, and a church that is not careful, just like the Jewish synagogue who is being called a synagogue of Satan, a church can be used by Satan, and God can see that church and say, they are a church of Satan. No matter how beautiful your name may be. And throughout history, the church has made our fair share of mistakes. So, let me just ask you, what is the hallmark of a church? What is the defining characteristic of a church? I did not hear you, Toshio, but I'm sure you're right. But the hallmark of the church must be this, that they love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, strength, and soul. And do the second thing as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. If a church does not do those two things well, they are missing the point. I believe Smyrna did those two things very well. Even though they were small, even though they were poor, even though they were afflicted, even though there was a lot of lies spoken about them, I believe they did those two things well, and Jesus had nothing bad to say about that church. Now imagine that. Imagine being in the church of Smyrna for a second. It might be a little bit like JCCT. But imagine that. Churches that are prospering, churches that are filled with wealthy people, churches that are doing a lot of good deeds, churches that have just excellent theology, and the people in Smyrna outwardly didn't have any of those things. But interesting enough, this was a church Jesus had nothing bad to say about. Did not correct this church. In fact, just continue to encourage them. Continue to speak words of life and says, I will give you life as your victor's crown if you just persevere. He says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Not only were they not doing well, but now they are about to suffer. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you'll suffer persecution for 10 days. Jesus just simply says, be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Amen. Now I understand the church, we need to contend for certain things. We need to fight for certain things. We need to do spiritual warfare for certain things. But certain things will come, and Jesus just says, persevere. Go through it. It's a test to see if you're trustworthy for the true riches that will come in the hereafter. It is a test. And life is a test. To see if you're trustworthy, you'll be tested. And what will you be tested in? It depends on who you are, but most importantly, what you will be tested in is how faithful you can love God and love your neighbors. And let me tell you what the hardest test is. Can I tell you what the hardest test is? Is loving those who are unlovable. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I thought I was the only one for a second, but some of you You know, if you could do that, you are a very mature Christian. Jesus says, what good is it if you greet those who are nice to you, but bless those and pray for those who persecute you? And this is a test that Smyrna will have to face. The people who are slandering them, throwing into prison, and even killing them, if they are able to persevere and love them, they'll be given a victor's crown in the end. Amen. You'll be tested. How you respond will affect your quality of life in the next life. And that's where it counts. That's where you spend eternity. I want to encourage you, JCCT, and I want to encourage you personally, if you are going through hard times, Jesus knows. And you know what? It's not a bachi. Let me just say that. It's not bachi. We have an enemy, and he wants to destroy you. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. He wants you to say, you know, life was a lot better when I wasn't going to church. For some of you, that's true. Circumstances were a lot better when I wasn't trying to follow God. That might be true. But you are, what you are incurring, what you are amassing in heaven, you will be like, I am so glad that I did not give up. I'm so glad I had to put up with just a little bit here on earth. Because in eternity, where it counts, where it will never fade, I am fully satisfied and rich. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the promise you give us in each and every one of us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus, we want to trust you with our lives. Whatever may come, Lord, hell or high water, we just want to trust you and obey you and persevere and not give up and to worship you with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul, to love you, Lord, and to love those around us. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us. And for those of us who need encouragement, I pray, Lord, you will speak to their spirit directly, Lord. Encourage them in their inmost being. We thank you so much, Father, for you are a good God and worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.